Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
Last night, I got to hang out with some of the coolest people on the planet, I think, Taylor University students. And we were at the Air Band. Air Band is where you pretend like you're in a band, playing air guitars and lip syncing the whole thing, except it's not. It's so much more than just that. It is an absolute production of dance and music and unbelievable over-the-top scenes and lights and stage was absolutely incredible. Colin, I didn't know you had it, man, but you got it. Just got what it takes. Colin's group was Top Gun, and he was Iceman. He just kind of looks like Iceman. Colin, would you just stand up just real quick? Let everybody see your good looks. Yeah, there he is. Iceman in the house. Yeah, he's got it. He's got the jawline mainly is what he's got. Sarah, you were in it. Who all was dancing last night? Anybody else was? Yeah, there's Gwen. Gwen, you were dancing. I saw you. You got some moves. I see you. Somebody else? There. Yeah. What? Bonga. Yeah, I know. Bonga. Hazel, you were dancing. I saw you. What one were you in? Hercules. 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 That one was one of my favorites. That one got top three, right? That second place, man. So it was an absolute blast. So great, great stuff. Sarah's parents are here today from Naperville, Illinois. Anybody come farther than Naperville, Illinois? You guys get the award for the farthest traveled. We as Quakers. Oh, Wheaton. Yeah, Wheaton, Illinois. Okay, they're in a race. We as Quakers, we give really good gifts like oatmeal and things like that out. That's all we got. But anyway, I just want to tell you, we love your daughter. And you put a lot of good into her. And my wife gets more time with Sarah and kind of knows her better. But the little bit that I know, man, she shines. There's like a very natural, but a supernatural. Like the Holy Spirit just emits off of her spirit. And that stuff just doesn't happen by accident. What we do on accident, it's a lot of bummer kids kind of come out when we're not overly intentional. Mama said that she remembers the days that she was dedicated at their church, you know, 2 decades ago. Isn't that something? What we just did this morning, we don't even know potentially the ramifications in the spirit realm, where God just leans over the balcony of heaven and he's just watching. He's like, I see this. I'm in it. I'm committed to your kids. If you'll raise them the way that I've told you to, it's going to work out really well for you. So just stick to the path. Stay the course. If there's any parents out there who are saying, man, I thought I did. I thought I was doing this thing with my kids. Stay in it, okay? God's promises. Just let's stay in the game as long as we possibly can with this thing. But, Sarah's good. Colin's good, too. I like Colin. She knows how to pick boyfriends. Don't you, Sarah? Do you or not? I don't know. You don't know. She doesn't know either. All right. Sarah, you want me to move on? Yeah, quickly. I want to talk this morning about hurry and hustle and the abuse that it does to our inner man, to our soul man. It was about a month ago, it was middle part of March, that I was so weary and so fatigued, just sucking wind. I just couldn't hardly catch up. I was so tired, got through the week, and I just wanted to sleep all weekend. And that's not me. I want to go, go, go. I want to play with the kids. I want to go and do the next thing and do whatever. And I just couldn't hardly get out of bed for the whole weekend. I slept and slept and slept. I'd get up just to say hey to the kids, and I would eat something, and I just couldn't get going. I had no words for it other than like soul exhaustion. You ever felt that? Like to your core, exhausted and wiped out. Then what surprised me is it started fleshing out in sadness. I just was sad. Again, not me. I'm a pretty happy guy. I'm pretty easy to get along with. I enjoy people. I like being around people. But this weekend, I didn't want to be around people. People probably didn't want to be around me either. I just had this, I was in this funk, but more than a funk, it really was fatigue. One of the things that we do before church is I'll get the kids together and I'm like, hey guys, you know what I'm excited about today after church? We're going to do a family day and I'll come up with some sort of an idea. We're going to get the four-wheelers out. We're going to go ride and we're going to do something. We're going to create some fun memories. Yeah, we're all excited. About a month ago, I was talking to Judah. I said, Judah, you know what I'm excited about for after church this Sunday? He goes, probably taking a nap. I was like, oh, have I become that dad already? Like in one weekend, I've changed my reputation. Like that's not good, man. And I don't know how it changed in his heart so quickly. Like I know who my dad is. He just wants to sleep. So this happened over the course of the weekend. I'm sharing with Alyssa just what's going on deeper inside of my spirit, man, inside of my soul, in my body. And I call it a family talk. So anybody in our family is allowed to call a family talk at any point. You just scream at the top of your lungs, family talk! And whoever's in the house, you got to drop whatever you're doing and make a beeline downstairs to the living room or on the couch. When kids have friends over, they're like, what in the world is going on? There's a herd of kids running down the stairs. We're all in the living room sitting at the couch. Nora loves calling family talks for no reason. She has absolutely nothing to say. She'll scream, family talk! And then she'll stand in front of us while we sit on the couch, and then she'll show us her latest dance move. Or the scary one is she learned how to twerk. I don't know how she learned that. I don't know what they're teaching in these classes, but she likes to twerk. So she'll call a family talk. We all watch her twerk, and then we get back to our lives. I call a family talk, and I said, guys, I just want to share with you what's going on inside of me, and there's just this exhaustion. And what also is adding to it is there's like this slow drain that's happening. So, Ronnie, whenever I asked you to stop throwing the ball, why did you throw the ball three more times? I just want to know why. Why? Why did you think that was a good move? Dad said to stop throwing the ball, so I thought I would do it again and again and again. Why, Ronnie? Ronnie's like Mother Teresa. She's like so like, oh my God. I said, Ronnie, what that's like is taking a water balloon and a little needle and just sticking it in there. It's just a little slow drain. It didn't explode anything, didn't ruin the balloon totally, but eventually that's a slow drain on my energy. Just not having instant obedience. Nora, why is it that when you eat a piece of candy, there's a trail of wrappers behind you? You can't throw anything away. Nora, I know that you're brand new to our home, so let me show you where the trash can is. Come over here. I'll just show you. Right here is the trash can. If you would, just take that wrapper and put it away. Nora, you're just leaving trash all over our house. That's a slow drain. That exhausts me. While I'm at it, Judah, here we go. I'm on a roll. Judah, why is it that you're the smartest kid I know and you've got three F's? And you do all the homework. He's like, I know, I did it. Exactly, you did it. Can you just turn it in? Please, just turn it in to your teacher. They're like, well, we have all these missing assignments. Judah, you've already done it. Now you just hand it to her. That's a slow drain. That drains me. I don't have energy for that. And I'm standing up, and Alyssa's like, wow, great job, Brock. What awesome fathering. Can I coach you for a moment? She goes, do you just need to go take a nap? I said, yeah, I think I do. She goes, please do, because you're like going to hurt somebody's heart here. Can you just like go? And I'm like, okay, I'm not good for anyone. I just need to go to bed. I was just wiped and drained. Anybody, whenever you don't live rested, you just live frustrated. And my inner man was just restless. And whenever it was fleshing out as sadness, and I just took some time just to sit with myself, because nobody else wanted to be around me. I'm just sitting by myself, and I'm thinking. And as sadness was coming forward, There's some things that I've wanted to do that I haven't done. There's some things that I've wanted to accomplish that I didn't. Some things that I wanted to be wherever, professionally, financially, relationally, physically, that I'm not. Anybody else? And there's this vision of who the best version of you is, and you're not that. And I'm exhausted. Man, this thing was hitting me pretty deep at some pretty deep levels, and I'm just like, this isn't good. I reached out to a couple pastor buddies, and as I'm talking with them, one of them, Mark Malin, he begins to share with me, and he begins to talk to me about just the importance of living rested and living in this reality of just being able to live into the presence of the Lord and also intentionally just pushing pause, pushing stop on some things in life. As he was talking about this, General Patton said, fatigue makes cowards of us all. And as I'm feeling this fatigue, I'm feeling like I'm just acting like a little baby right now. I'm just wanting to whine and complain and this sort of stuff. And Mark Malin, he begins to talk to me about this book by John Mark Comer. It's The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. I hear a little bit of a buzz. Is that me? Can you hear anything? Feedback? Is that... Okay, and I cannot push a book any stronger than the one that I'm pushing right here. This is a big deal. Here's a QR code. If you want to scan that, I'm going to be talking about this book like crazy right now, but you can look it up or you can even buy it if you want to. But this book, as Mark begins to talk to me about this, he goes, here's the reality of your life. Is your life, you have no margin. You don't have any extra space. So Nora, your 8-year-old, isn't always awesome and leaves wrappers, and you don't have any room for that. It bumps up against you not having room. Ronnie, she just wants to play with the ball, and that ticks you off, and it makes you, frustrated. It's because you don't have any extra margin, any room for that. I'm like, I don't have any amount of space for that. So I work with a company called TLC Management throughout the day. I come home, and I try to do things with the church at night and on the weekends. The amount of content that I try to read and prepare and teach and present all throughout the week is an insane amount. And so while I'm in the car, I'm trying to listen to teachings or even like write my messages through voice text. I'll do whatever I can to try to make up extra time. There was a day last week where the weather was, 2 weeks ago, the weather was absolutely gorgeous. And I had 3 different meetings in Indianapolis, and what I really wanted to do was to ride my motorcycle the whole time. Just get some 2-wheel therapy, just be out in this 75 and sunny degrees. And I had to make a decision between kind of having a restful and enjoyable trip or say, you know what, from going to Fishers to Avon to Creekside to back home, that's going to be about 3.5 hours in the car. That's 3.5 hours of work. I can be working while I'm in the car. Phone calls, text, checking emails. Guys, I'm that guy. I'm sorry. I'm just that. Don't hate me. Anybody hating me? Maybe look in the mirror as well. And so I'm working through this like I just have to work. I got to do more. I got to produce. I'm running out of time. I can never possibly catch up. So Mark just asked me, he says, when is it that you have a Sabbath? I said, Sabbath, man, that would be nice. I never have a Sabbath. I never have a day off. And he says, I'm not talking about a day off. I'm talking about a Sabbath. The true word of the Sabbath is the Hebrew word, which is Shabbat. Shabbat means this. It literally means to stop. That's what Sabbath means. Stop. Don't work. Don't worry. Don't stress. Don't freak out. Don't do anything that's going to bring some restlessness to your inner man, to your soul. Actually, do the opposite of that. Do the things that feed you life. What do you delight in? What do you actually enjoy? And do that. So the second word after to stop, Sabbath means to delight, to take pleasure in. What restores you and what brings you life? And all of a sudden, I started breathing. I'm like, oh my gosh. Everybody do that with me real quick. Just breathe in through your nose and out your mouth. You haven't done that all year. How nice did that feel? It's like this inner, like this river just like flushes through my spirit. I begin to feel this different thing. This old story that goes like this. There's two young fish swimming along. They run into this older fish. And the older fish asks the two young bucks, he says, "Hey, how's the weather? Or no, how's the water today? How's the water today?" And as they're having this conversation, the two young fish, they swim off and they go, "What the heck is water?" As if I don't know anything different. This is my atmosphere. This is my environment. This is what we do all day, every day. I just want to ask you, what is hurry? You're like, "What do you mean? That's just what we do. It's just on to the next thing, and it's hustling kids to practice, and it's picking them up, and it's grabbing dinner as you're walking through." Literally, we're standing up in the kitchen eating dinner and going on to the next thing. And this, I just feel my spirit getting sad and wanting to push back and to resist what's going on. Sometimes in life, it's hard to nail down like a precise moment when some things shifted for you and began to turn for you, like some tectonic shifts, like some major shiftings that took place. There's a fork in the road, and you feel yourself shifting to a direction. This, I believe, is one of them for me. Getting the pace of Jesus, getting a different approach to work and to the intensity of how I want to do things. Jesus says this in Matthew 11, 28. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and I'm humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." There's some of these phrases that Jesus says in Scripture. This Scripture right here is a working Scripture. He's like, "Hey, we're going to get to work. We're going to put on a yoke. And while we're working, I just want you to know that this thing can be easy. This thing can be a lot lighter than what you have thought. We might go to work, but let's just do it a little bit differently. And I want you to be able to live into the rest of God and into the pleasures of God. There's just a different way to do things." That just started putting a little bit of a peace inside. Jesus has some crazy teachings. In the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, he's like, "Hey, let's just look at the birds." "Look at the birds of the air. I feed them every day. Guys, look at the wildflowers. Let's just stop literally and smell the roses. Let's look at the flowers. Aren't they adorned beautifully? Look how I designed them." So don't worry about your life. Because if the Father can feed the birds and design the flowers, how much more so can he take care of y'all? Okay, where was I? And then he gets back into it. Isn't it fascinating? Jesus is like, "Hey, just be present in the moment. Be present. Take it in. Look around. Look at the flowers." Anybody else struggle with really being present in a moment? Perhaps even when you're standing in the grocery line. We're standing in the grocery line, and this is what we're doing. I got 2 to 3 minutes. I might as well just watch somebody else's life. Isn't it fascinating? We would rather check out of our life and check into someone else's life, seeing what they are doing. I do it myself, but I don't want to really be present in this moment, because for 2 to 3 minutes, that is so long to stand here and like look around, or to see, "Hey, there's somebody that I know." Actually lift your head up and see someone, perhaps even get into a conversation with someone. Or how about this, to just stop and have a 2-minute Shabbat. I just want to be separate. I just want to be present. I want to breathe. I want to be able to see. I want to connect. And by the time I get up to the cashier to treat this person like they have an actual soul, there's a real person there, rather than they're nothing more than an ATM where I just stand like this, I hand them my credit card, I grab it, grab my bags, and I'm out. but to actually engage with humans, to be like fully present in the moment, for our children to not grow up looking at the back of an iPhone, but to really get to see us and who we are. I'm feeling like I just want to be more like Jesus in the fullness of the moment. Or he says this, the enemy wants to come and he wants to steal, kill, destroy, steal your attention. I believe there's death by distraction. We're so distracted than just being in a moment. And Jesus says, but I come and I'll just give you a full life, life to the full. Jesus lived an interrupted life all of the time as he's walking from one place to the next and it gets interrupted, but you never see Jesus ticked off. He's not like perpetually ticked off like I was last two, 3 weekends ago. He just lived in a state of peace and joy and calm. There wasn't a sense of hurry to him. I just really believe that hurry is like at odds with a spirit that wants to stay connected with Jesus. That was good. For everyone that's taking notes out there, I see there's a lot of them. In your minds, right? Everybody, yeah, in your mind. Hurry is at odds with a spirit that wants to connect with Jesus. When I'm in a hurry, I can't connect with anybody, let alone take time to connect with Jesus. When I'm in a hurry and to live at a different pace, I want to breathe, I want to connect, I want my soul to rest and to truly delight. Also, to be freed up from hurry, it's not simply about having more pleasure for myself, but having the ability to do calmly and effectively, with strength and joy, that which matters most. This word, rule. Does anybody know what the word rule means? Anybody love rules? Not too many people out there. No, because we're Americans, right? We want to be free. The word rule means this. The word rule means a straight piece of wood. Isn't that funny? That's what a rule means. That's where we get our rule, our name for ruler. It's a straight piece of wood. It helps us draw a straight line. I've got a piece of wood here, okay? This is a fairly straight piece of wood. This would be a rule. What they would do with pieces of wood in their vineyards is they would build what's called trestles, okay? So there's a piece that's coming up at an angle. There's another piece that's coming up at an angle. And then a straight piece of wood that would be laying across the top of that trestle. The purpose of the trestle is for the vine to grow up, come across, and come back the other way so that it catches wind, the way that the grape connects to the soil, the wind that comes in. It's built and designed in such a way that the rule is not for the purpose of keeping the vine to stand up straight and to behave perfectly. The purpose of a rule is so that it will produce the most fruit in its life. The purpose of rules are to help us be as awesome as we possibly can so that we can produce fruit and we can be a blessing to so many other people around us. Wouldn't it be great that we would produce so much fruit in a place that we can feed the whole village with all the grapes that we can produce? A trestle, a rule, and there's another rule that God has put in that he calls the Sabbath. And as he says, to keep the Sabbath, to honor the Lord with the Sabbath, and to make it holy. The word holy simply means to be set apart. It's not common like every other day. It's something that's different. And to keep this thing holy. And so as he's talking about this idea, he goes, I just want to put a rule in there, not so that you have to behave perfectly, but so that it'll help you produce the most fruit in your life. Fascinating, huh? I'm like, I kind of am interested in the Shabbat thing. So 3 weeks ago, I did a Shabbat for the first time in like 5 years. That's embarrassing to say, but I did. And I just took a day, and so did Alyssa. And so what we did is we planned out this day where we had nothing on the calendar. And we did whatever we wanted. And so we got up late. It was so nice. And then I read, and I just sat with a book that I really enjoyed. I just sat with a book. I made a hand-ground cup of coffee, slow drip pour over coffee. I sat and I watched it drip by drip. I was like, man, this is going way too fast. It needs to go slower. Just drip by drip. I felt my spirit begin to come into unity with a different pace. I'm like, oh, this is nice. Then we went out for breakfast and we got our favorite food. We got stuffed French toast with that cream cheese filling. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Sandra, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Sandra just licked her lips. I saw it. There's something about it. It's just gooey. It's sugary with a little side of bacon because it needs to be balanced out with that salt. And then we got our favorite lunch, and we just ate all day what we love. And we went for a walk, and we were in the park, and we were breathing. Oh, it was nice. And then we got around our kids, and we played catch. The end of the night, we did pizza and a movie, and we just fell asleep in a pile of bodies on the couch. It was just so wonderful. It just brought me life. So now, coming off of that Shabbat, the next day, I felt rested and good and ready to go. The second day, I'm still living off of the energy and that resource. Now, going into that third day, I'm thinking, I've got another one coming. There's another one coming in 4 days. And so we start planning that out. We literally are texting each other, hey, let's maybe do this. I really enjoy this. This is something that causes me to come alive. Hey, let's just clear out like 3 hours for nothing, maybe a nap in the middle of the day. I don't know what it is. So we start planning days in advance, the Shabbat, and we do our second one. We rested even more, guilt-free. Because in America, we've got to produce, we've got to go, we've got to get it done. We didn't ever have time for rest. And I just began to rest. I'm like, oh, it was like having a holiday without having to have your in-laws around. It was like a holiday with no stress. We didn't have to cook. We didn't have to do all the stuff. We didn't have to give gifts. It was just like, ah. And then I felt like I was living off of that for a couple days. And I thought, oh my gosh, I got another one coming. There's another Shabbat that's coming, and I start like really getting fired up about rest. Rather than living frustrated, I'm living rested. And it's been really, really neat. Let me show you this passage of scripture. This is one of the Ten Commandments here. In Exodus chapter 20, starting in verse 8, it says to honor the Sabbath, to keep it holy. This is the way that the Lord would have us do this thing. So hustle it, work, labor for 6 days in your work. Next one here. On the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord. On that day, don't work, neither you nor your sons, your daughters, your male, female servants, animals. Just push this holy pause. And there's just been this holy pause. I just feel a rest. And church, I just want to encourage us as a church family to live rested and not live hurried or hustled all the time. But there's a rule that can bring a lot of life to us. There's also something that I love about the idea of work hard for 6 days. We got about 144 hours. Well, we got exactly 144 hours. Go hard for 144 hours and then just stop and Shabbat and delight and what restores the joy inside of you. Also, not that Shabbat just needs to be a day, but also Shabbat is a person. It's the person of Jesus Christ. Because you also can take a Shabbat and say, well, I just want to get a line wet out in the water and I just want to fish. Anybody else been out fishing and you are just ticked off and frustrated and your line's all tangled up and now it's in the tree and your son's with you and it's you wrapped up the tackle box and it's all frustrating. Ah! Or you're out there and you're sitting in the boat and you're thinking about all the people that you hate and all that sort of stuff and there's all this turmoil. That's not Shabbatting either. But just stopping and resting, and I find the highest level of rest and pleasure found in the person of Jesus Christ. There used to be a day whenever we would do nothing while we were driving except for driving. Do you remember that? Some of that older generation, even on Sundays, there was nothing else to do, so you would go for a Sunday drive. Let's just drive. And you know what we do? We look outside the window. What a great idea. Instead of like looking down at our lap, we actually look out the window when we drive. And I can actually see things, and there's other cars, and I see trees, and I see nature, and I start taking in more things. There's just a something to be fully present in a moment. C.S. Lewis said this. He said, hurry is the end to prayer. And when I'm in a hurry, I don't have time to stop. I don't have time to get in the presence. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to seek his face. I don't have time for rich relationships. Hey, gotta go. Drop him off here. Go pick up that. Make another deal. Gotta do it. Boom, boom, boom. And I'm just like, it is the death to my soul. This word rule, as it talks about a straight piece of wood, there's a grain that wood has. And if you go with the grain, it's a pretty good feel. It's a smooth feel. When you go against the grain of that rule is when you get splinters and it hurts and it's hard and you're like, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. And I feel like for a while I've gone against the grain of the rule of living rested. And no more. I don't want to walk around with splinters and hurts all over my body and hurting those around me. I want to lean into the trestle, the rules of God, to be able to live in His presence, to live rested and produce the best fruit I can in my life. We've never seen a society more depressed, more suicidal, more full of anxiety, stress, and worry than we are seeing right now. It's not working. This is broken. And I believe it's whenever we can pivot back to the trestle of Jesus, where we can begin to rest in His presence. Say, Jesus, I want to really get serious about just stopping, not being American, where I got to produce, but resting in the kingdom of God, trusting in You, finding some really good things to delight in more than just work. Would You restore my joy and restore my soul? So this morning, as we get ready to close in prayer, I just want you to bring something before the Lord and say, God, can You just help lift this, the worry and the stress and all these things that I need to stop and turn my heart to where I can begin to delight in You. I found this, the more I delight in the Lord, the less I'm frustrated with my kids. I find the more that I'm happy in Jesus, the less frustrated I am with people, marriage, work. Taking time to just see Him as He truly is. So church family, let's pray. And let's pray that the Lord would help us be a church that can live in the presence and live rested. Jesus, we just lift up our church family right now. God, I pray that we would be a church family that can come into the presence where there's a fullness of joy, where we can not live by the hurry and the hustle of the American society, but God, that we can take time just to push pause, to rest in You. We thank You that You made the Sabbath for man. What a gift. Thank You for making the Sabbath for man. We just honor and celebrate You for that, Lord, this morning. In Jesus' name. If you are one of the families that you had your child dedicated, would you please just stay up here? We want to get a picture of you with your family and with your kids and extra extended family. We want to give you a picture. We also want to sign this paper together as we dismiss. And so, Lord, we just thank You for that. We just bless You for all these families today. In Jesus' mighty name, all of our church family said, amen. Amen.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.